Welcome to the Fantasy Hockey Pros Podcast. Fresh off the global series, King Willie, the new king of Sweden, really put on a show. We'll get into that, but first, we got to get into the intro.
Elephant in the room here. Elephant in the room.
If you're on YouTube, you're like, what? What's going on
That's
here?
Not Brian.
Better looking.
Brian is not on the show today.
We've upgraded on Brian this week. Wow.
We dropped the dead weight. We picked up some more dead weight.
Yeah.
So this guy, we've talked about him in the past. I got to be honest, he smacked me around in our pool, smacked Anth around in our pool. So we could say that he earned a call-up.
And he's first in our pool right now.
Yes, he's definitely earned a call-up to the show. That man is Mario, also known as Lopo.
You're missing one in there. It's Pod Slayer.
Hold on.
Here we go.
After I ran the circuit on Anth and you, it's going to be Joe and Bri. I've been thinking Podfather or Podslayer. I'll let you guys pick, but thanks for having me on the show, guys. Looking forward to today and a good epi.
The first thing we should tell the viewers, the first thing this guy said when we hopped onto the Zoom call, or when I did, was, let's get some beers going. So, like, we're all at our own individual spots here, but he wants to start sharing some beers. So that's the kind of energy he's bringing to the pod.
Yeah, of course. Or vodka. First thing. Let's go.
And you're vaping, too? What's going on?
Okay, is this an intervention about Lopo, or are we going to do a hockey podcast?
We got to get to know the newbie.
Yeah. Right. This could be a message to all the other guys in the pool, though. If you perform, like Mario's, I think you're sitting first right now. Is that right, Mario?
That's correct.
The whole league. Yes. There you go. You can earn a call up, boys.
Well, I see it. I wanted to come on the show today. There's some people on the show that, you know, they bring good value to the show. And some guys are here just for the entertainment, and I'm here to bring a little bit of both rather than just the entertainment. Not mentioning who, but he could figure it out because he's not on the show today.
Next week's going to be a cage match with Brian and Lopo.
Lopo's hopping right onto the trend of just bashing the guy who's not here.
Yeah, it's okay. I bash him when he's here too, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
All right. Well, before we get into hockey, I mean, we can go around the table. How you been, Anth? I guess we didn't actually introduce you, nor did we, Joe. So,
we don't really
need to. What's going
on
in your world?
Yeah, I'm taking Brian's spot this morning as the guy who's on the struggle bus. It was a late one for me.
What was last night?
Actually, yesterday was a fun day. So I golfed yesterday. I mean, it was a pretty early morning because I worked, but then I golfed, and then I went out with some buddies in Fort Lauderdale. So it was a late one. I think I got in pretty, I don't want to say exactly what time, but it was late.
Yeah. And you got up early, of course, to watch the Leafs in Sweden.
I sacrificed the first period. I said, we're not going to make the first. So, yeah, I was up for the second.
Joe, you look like you're drinking baby formula.
No, a little limonata from San Pellegrino. We had a little Santa Claus parade thing in our town over here last night, so I took my daughter out to see that.
The town of Bradford had a Santa Claus parade?
Yeah. Yeah, and then we're going to go see Santa today for some pictures.
That's cute.
Getting a jump on it early.
Yeah.
We're not even December yet.
Mario, what you been up to, buddy?
You know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Friday, went to go see the Hunger Games, the new one that came out. Pretty good, actually.
It's like an older sort of prequel, right?
Yeah, it precedes what happened in the previous three movies, but honestly, it's the story of Snow. We're not going to get into it, but good movie. Sam and I had our dating anniversary on Friday as well. And
you guys are
married.
Still celebrating that?
Until the day happens, it's an anniversary, and then we'll move to wedding anniversaries. And then, today I'm going to the Raptors game, so it's a good weekend all in all.
Don't forget about the engagement anniversary.
Yeah, well, that's I don't know if that's a thing. We're gonna do wedding anniversary, at least until
the wedding. Yes.
It's engaged. I never had an engagement anniversary.
No, until you get to the wedding, though, it's bigger than the dating anniversary, at least.
Jeez, well, not over here anyway. So, no. Yeah, good weekend all in all. I'm glad. What about you, Mike? What you been up to?
I mean, while we're talking about our significant others, I got in shit this week.
You're right around the corner.
She gives me. I mean, yes, she is a little bit hormonal. Hopefully, she doesn't yell at me for saying that. But I mean, it's normal.
Is she within earshot?
Yeah.
Yeah, she is.
She's probably killing you right now. Giving you that look right now.
It's not. I can't see her face, but it's not. I mean, it's not rude to say she's hormonal. She's pregnant. She'd agree with that too. But so she always gets on me when it's like, okay, time to go somewhere. She always says I'm slow. I say, you've never tried to go anywhere with Anth. That's always what I say, because Anth's
why,
the slowest.
Why do I get dragged into this?
Because you're just slow when it's time to get going. But I was going, and then you know how, Anth, you're going to agree with this. You're getting ready. You're walking by a mirror. You got to practice your golf swing while you're getting ready.
Oh, 1,000%. Right? You're not getting ready if you're not practicing your golf swing.
Yeah, so so I took a few swings in the mirror, and then, you know, she gave me shit, and it was a whole thing. But we're good.
That's it? That's just for practicing the golf swing in the mirror?
Well, I mean, I was slow, and was she at the door? Contributing to the slowness.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when she's already on edge, and then she sees you, you know, pretending you got a driver in your hands, that's definitely a problem.
My question for you. When you're out in public, You do that same practice in front of people?
I don't practice my swing in public.
I do. Anyways, once in a while. When I'm waiting for, you know, I did it when I was waiting in line. When I was flying to Spain, we had a big layover. I got good at golf with my practice swing.
You got good at golf with the practice.
You guys know how I am.
You know what I realize I do, like I've done before? When I'm just like talking to someone, like I'm just, you know, we're just talking, whatever, shooting the shit, and we're standing up, I just start like practicing my swing a little bit, like while we're just standing up talking, and I'm like, but that's weird though. Think about that. If you like, what if I practiced my slap shot while I was talking to someone?
Well, Mike should practice it because, like, he still hasn't learned how to
take
one.
How weird is that? Or you like pretend like you're trying to hit one of your receivers, you know, like at a.
Oh yeah. Missed that back.
I can see Brian doing that because he thinks he's QB
like,
guy.
But like the golf swing, kind of like doing a little lob wedge or whatever, like a little chip onto the green. It's like normal, you know. It's funny.
It's acceptable. It's like, practice your bowling stride.
Oh yeah. Okay. So taking fadeaway threes.
Oh man! Well, people do that.
No, not
Kobe.
Not in public, they don't.
Yeah. Oh, man. This guy kills me.
You don't live where I live, Joel. That's why you don't see it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Straight hood.
Oh. All right. Well, we're here to talk hockey. Let's do that. Let's test Lopo's knowledge. How's that?
I can guarantee you it's going to be better than Brian's.
Hey, first place in the pool for a reason. Let's not talk about like his track record from previous leagues.
Yeah.
From previous
We're living in the
seasons.
Present. The
Let's
present.
Just stay in the present, you know.
We live in the now.
Yeah. All right.
Living in the now. We'll start with the fantasy players of the night. I guess living in the past week. We'll go over them. Well, then we'll get into some other...
Before we get into those, Mike, didn't we start this thing where we do the big news of the week? Because I like that. Like, I think that's something we can build on.
I agree. Let's do that. We'll get to the big story first.
Okay.
The big story of the week, guys. I'll give you an option between two because there's nothing that stands out the way it did last week. We have a trio of Canucks at the top of the scoring standings.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have the return of Ekblad and Montour.
To a team that's already rolling.
Yes.
I'd even add one more on there. I'd even add the return of Hughes.
Wow, look at this guy already bringing in the heat.
Thank God he's back.
There's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot to talk about. The Oilers are still struggling. Where's McDavid gone? The Global Series seems to be a success. So where are we going first?
Yeah. The guys in Sweden are rock stars.
Let's do the global series. It just happened. We're fresh off it. We just watched Willie score OT winner. Had a big 3 days in Sweden. I know what Brian would say if he was here, because he hates everything about this.
Yes.
But what were your guys... Let's start with Joe. What were your thoughts on, you know, this four-day Sweden escapade?
It was good. The only criticism I will give it, because I had trouble watching the other teams, if you're going to do a global series, you have to work your TV schedule a little bit. Like, yes, it's a regional game. Let's make it a national game. That's the only criticism I will make. You can't have regional games when you're in across the pond, or you're it's a premier event. So only Ottawa's region can see it in Canada. To me, that's a fail, a big fail. They should have flexed it or switched it or picked national dates to kind of go around that. That's the only criticism I have in it. I think they, like, the Nylander storyline throughout this whole week, obviously it's big here because we're in Toronto, and it's he's like a god there, it seems like.
Yeah, it's actually wild.
Playing like
I saw him on some sort of like Swedish talk show or some shit with his just a wife beater. And some Swedish nunna was feeling up his arms and said, "What is going on over there?"
Never mind the Swedish nunna, the host was a rocket too.
Oh, I didn't see her.
But you you didn't see the
You know she's Hold into on. Willie. Because that guy's a stud.
Big time.
Yeah, that guy, what's his game like in Sweden for 4 days?
Oh my god, are you kidding me? That guy just waking up covered in bitches in the morning.
Honestly. Like
girls, I should say.
Over under 4.5.
Oh, like kills in global. Oh, easy over. Over.
Amanda just laughed and said over.
Easy over. I think he hit easy the over probably before they played any games.
You guys are so big on Willie. I don't think he's that much of a stud. That guy's hairline's going to the back of his fucking head right now.
Oh, but that's no.
Oh, come on. I saw some photos yesterday. That guy, he does a slick back. I don't know if it's a good look for him.
But, Mayor, that's why he rolls around with Matthews, because his hairline looks like such a good eyebrow.
You know, he's headed that way. Look at his old man. He's headed that way. So, yeah, but I think, I don't know. I think he's still a stud. And, man, he gets it done on the ice.
Yeah, well, does he ever?
Actually, yeah, Willie, out of all non-Canucks, he would be leading the league. So I think it's just those three guys in Vancouver have one more point than him now.
I got a little number for you here,
Cooch, boys. Believe, so, is there.
So a little bit of prep on the show today. So looking at Willie's number, so outside of guys that are non-qualified for points per 60, so right now in the NHL... Willie is sitting number four points per 60 in the NHL right now, followed by he's behind guys like Jack Hughes, David Pastrnak, Panarin. So he's right there with, like, you're talking about one of the best players in the NHL right now.
Yeah, he's definitely playing like it. One of two, you mentioned Panarin there. He's just Nylander and Panarin are the only players that have at least a point in every game to start the season. It's amazing. It's like every night I just want both of them to keep going. Who's going to win the race? Like, it's kind of exciting.
It's super exciting, and it's kind of scary for the Leafs. But who is
there's the host,
Joseph?
There's the host of that that talk show Willie's on.
We'll give Willie two for taking that one down.
Yeah.
But so they've been talking about it. Like, it's kind of been a conversation around the NHL. Do the Leafs, if they had to pick, like, between Mitch and Willie, like, who are you keeping?
It's funny. Yeah, like, I was on
if they had to pick.
Like, I was on the Marner train the whole year, but, like, I just thought about that today, because one of the intermission segments was Bernie questions, and I thought that was the better question than they actually asked. They asked, like, Marner or Kaprizov, who would you rather have? And I'm like, why would they even go there? But anyways... So I was like, Marner or Nylander, because it's been talked about. And it's just like, Willie's starting to get, if he continues like this,
but here's
Marner's already done it. He has to do it. continue to do it.
I feel like it comes down to one thing. And even before this year, who's been better in the playoffs? It's been Willie, and that's all that matters to the
Leafs. That's a great point. That's a great point, Mike. But it's also recency bias, because if you go back to last season when Marner had a 25-game point streak or something, he set a franchise record.
Yeah.
Like, everyone probably would have said Marner during that streak, and now Willie's got a streak of his own. He's actually
coming. And also, don't forget, like, it does play a part into it, because Willie is starting to penalty kill this year as well. But Marner was always, you know, you get the penalty kill factor. You get the defensive side of the game with him, as well as you get almost like 100 points. Whereas Willie now is starting to become the penalty killer. He's never going to be a defensive guy. So you can cross that off.
Maybe they find a way to keep them all, but let's go to Lopo here, because he's our first non-Leaf fan.
I think they will
on the pod.
He's our first non-Leaf.
So let's see what an outsider has to say.
Yeah, from an outsider's perspective, and I've talked to Mike about this as well. I don't think you have to make a choice between Marner and Nylander. I think the choice, I think the Leafs have to eat some money and move Tavares. If they hold 50%, move him. Somebody will take him. What is he on 13 right now?
They're not moving Tavares. Yeah. I'm telling you right now.
Well, no, he's not 13.
But what I'm saying is
11.
Okay,
but regardless, you have to move that money. Exactly. You have to move that money. If you can eat 50%, you'll have that money to sign Willie. I think that's where they need to go. I think trying to hold all three of them, Marner,
you just have Matthews, to eat, and
Nylander. But I think they need to re-sign Willie, because he's going to get. I think on the open market, there's going to be a slew of teams interested, and he's going to get his money wherever he goes.
I don't know. But
they eat it 1 year. That's all they have to worry about.
I was going to say, you really only have to figure out next season, right? Because that doesn't necessarily mean that Tavares is gone after the following season. No. But I could see Tavares, they will probably want to keep him around, be the captain. He could come back. Exactly. But the thing is, he's still producing. So, still a stud. So him coming and taking a 4-year deal at six per, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, but doesn't he seem like the kind of guy that would?
He does.
Kopitar,
but until he does it.
Here's the thing. You guys are looking at from the offense perspective. The dollars got to fit. They got to find money. They got to move Tavares. All this money is held by, we're talking about almost half of their cap is held by what, five players right now?
Yeah.
They have to find that money. They got to lower that number. And they got to try to build on their back end a little bit better.
They've done it all through, even with Willie making seven. They've done it.
But between the cap going up, between Klingberg, between Bertuzzi, there's your money.
Yeah.
So they can make it work.
They'll make it work.
For 1 year, that's all they got to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
The real question is they got to just talk out of the. Yeah. The real question is they got to figure out their cap in 3 years when McDavid's up.
Oh, here we go.
Oh yeah, Joe. Yeah, just for you, buddy.
But let's let that lead into Edmonton talk, because is McDavid actually going to leave? Because it's starting to seem like, why would he stay?
Does it not resemble 14 games? Does it not resemble what Tavares and the Islanders? Not saying to Toronto. I'm just saying. First overall pick, re-signed there. All the individual accolades. Yes, the Oilers did get further than the Islanders in the playoffs, but a lot of losing, a lot of especially if it keeps happening. Not saying it's, you know what I mean. The first domino is Draisaitl. Realistically, is if he stays. If he leaves, you're gonna see McDavid a turn in him.
They're both not going anywhere. Oilers hater, the only way they're going anywhere is if the Oilers win the Cup. So you should be actually cheering for them.
Why would that happen? Draisaitl's been underpaid for how many years? You think the Oilers have the money to pay him next year?
Or in 2 years? Find the money. It's Draisaitl.
Okay. But if he wants to sign there.
Yeah, I've heard reports he's unhappy there too, and it's not just but you hear it every summer. You hear it every summer. Where are the reports around?
That they don't spend time in Edmonton in the summer when it's actually decent.
That's fair.
Just saying.
Okay.
But McDavid speculation at 13 and 14, that's I feel dumb. for predicting him to beat last year's total. It's like it's impossible at this point. He's not going to sniff that.
No, he won't sniff 150.
Guys, he's injured. Everybody, like, this guy produces at almost, like, a 1.5 point per game clip. Like, he's producing under a point per game. There's no way he's healthy. He has to be carrying something.
I don't necessarily think he's staying out late at practicing. If you're injured, you're not skating late. Yeah. You're not working extra hard. So I don't think it's necessarily an injury.
He doesn't look himself.
I'm still... honorary bro, you don't see this, but we get so many questions about, like, there's so many, like, what do you think about this trade that we get on Instagram, Twitter, and a lot of them include McDavid, and it is crazy how this guy, what's happening right now, and every single time, like, take McDavid, like, if you have to bet on one guy leading the league from this point to the end of the season, you're still going to pick McDavid.
Yep.
Are you not?
Yeah, of course you are.
I don't know about that. I see, like, you guys are looking at McDavid because what he's done historically, and I agree, he is the best player in the NHL, but what the situations are important, and the situation in New Jersey, you guys say McDavid, I would pick Jack Hughes for the rest of the year. From here on out to the last game of the season, I think Jack Hughes has that, and he's shown improvement year to year, like, where he's exponentially raising across all categories. I think you're looking at best player rest of the season, Jack Hughes.
Edmonton, honestly, can't be worst. McDavid can't be worse. That's the problem. Like, so he's gonna get his points. He's gonna get.
He will, but it's not a bad point, man.
Well, it's tough. It's tough for me to argue with Lopo because this seems to be opposite year. This guy's in first. My team sucks. he smoked me last time we played. So
yeah, I want to add that in there.
So I feel like whatever this guy says, we might have to listen to it. But I would say McDavid too, but. Shit, man. I was watching Edmonton yesterday, and it's just like it's not the same. They don't have that mojo on the power play. Last year, the power play was disgusting, and it was like every single time these guys got an opportunity, they made good on it. Or they were super lethal.
It was an NHL record.
I watched McDavid on the power play. He created or he caused two turnovers that led to clears, and it's like, what's going on?
Their power play last year was like Vancouver's this year.
They have an issue with depth as well on that team. Like, when you look at their top six and then you look at their bottom six, like, you have a big spread in points. I think, like, Warren Fogle is their next guy in point scoring outside of their top six guys, and he's got, like, 6 points, which is, it's kind of disappointing numbers. And they don't have that secondary scoring right now, which is a big problem, or tertiary scoring, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Even top five, Mara, up front. Like, it's just Kane, Hyman, Dry, McDavid, and RNH. Those are your five.
Then it dies.
And Bouchard, but I'm talking about up front, right?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, well, we had two Oilers get the Fantasy Player of the Night award this week. We had Draisaitl, he had a goal and 3 assists and a 4-1 win over the Islanders. 21 points in 16 games. He leads Evan Bouchard, actually, by 5 points for second. Bouchard being second in scoring in the Oilers. Again, crazy stat. And then on Wednesday, we had Evander Kane. He had a hat trick. Very exciting game. 4-3 OT win. It was a natural hat trick in Seattle. Kane's got 15 points in 16 games. So just come full circle with the Oilers.
Chuck Knobloch to the rescue, like, boys.
Yeah, and then they lost.
You know, Kane was number one.
It's
last
Chris,
week,
actually. I know that. Manually. Just for everyone out there.
You say Chuck?
Yeah, I said Chuck on purpose. Yeah.
Who is Chuck Knobloch?
Yankee, former baseball player. Remember the one with the little stance like this? He's a little guy, little short guy.
Oh, yeah. What was your stat there, Mayor?
So on Kane, so last week, or across standards fantasy leagues, number one overall last week in Standard Bangers League, that's Evander Kane.
I loved
that exposure to Draisaitl.
This guy's sliding in tidbits. I like this. He had that written down right there. That's good, man.
This is good. This is a good start. You might earn yourself another call-up.
I told you.
But we'll see.
So, like, if Brian was evaluating Evander Kane, for instance, he'd just say good player and call it a day. Call you out, bud. Yeah. I know you're watching this, Brian. Call you out. I watch your shit every week. You take soft looks, and you don't actually do any prep. I'm calling it out.
Ooh, we're going to need to get a direct response from Bri first thing next week.
Yeah. Oh, you will. Or shit.
He might just agree with me, guys, because that's what he does every fucking week.
Oh, boy. All right, let's keep going. I love it. Love the heat. We'll start. I mean, we had another fantasy player of the night, Wyatt Johnson. Power play goal, shorthanded goal. I know I kind of was choking on saliva at this moment there. Power play goal, shorthanded goal, power play assist. So special teams work in an 8-3 win in Minnesota. Johnston has 13 points in 16 games. He had 41 and 81 last year as a rookie. We're just seeing his growth, and it's great guy to own. You probably got him late in your pools, and hang on, he's playing well. Next, Sidney Crosby, hat trick and an assist, 5-3 win against Columbus. Crosby is having a year. 12 goals, 22 points, 16 games, playing amazing.
We talk about, and you mentioned Sid, so I think I'm bringing up Ovi in the same conversation as they have been their entire career. We always talk about Ovi, you know, the goals record and how work stoppages or COVID shortened years have kind of made it a conversation of when he's going to break it. But can you imagine if Sid wasn't injured or all these shortened years haven't, like, he'd be below past 2,000 career points and he'd be the second player to ever do it.
What's he at right now?
I think it's 14-something, I think.
Okay. Well, maybe not blow past. How many games did he actually miss?
He missed almost 300 games between shortened years and his concussion stuff, right?
So count it like he'd be at like almost 1,800, if that's the number.
Yeah, but you also have to look at the season that he did play. And then he still
has 4 years left, like, right?
Yeah.
If he plays till 40.
It's a shame.
You gotta look at like also how those injuries, specifically concussions, affected his career. Because
he's at 15-24. 15-24 his career. So more than I said.
I think Joe's right. I mean, he's a guy who can look at 2,000. You know, he's had a couple of years derailed by injuries, specifically on the concussions. That affects your play overall. I know he's Sid, but you know, he definitely produced at a much lower clip since those injuries. His points per game reflected that. He became a more complete player, but you're right. I agree with you, Joe. I think if the guy stayed healthy, you know, we'd be looking at 2,000 at the end of his career.
Like, for me, he's on my Mount Rushmore of greatest of all time.
Is Ovi there?
It's just... No, he's not, believe it or not. Whoa. He's the greatest goal scorer of all time.
But he doesn't... He's the greatest goal scorer of all time doesn't make the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, believe it or not.
Yeah, come on. Come on, I don't know about that, Joe. Know
about that. You only have four spots.
So you got Lemieux, Canadian Gretzky, bias. Crosby, and I have Bobby Orr there.
Again, Canadian bias. That's what that is.
No, it's not, because Ovi's right there.
Okay, Don.
But Ovi's right there, but he's not on. He's it. A one. Put his face on.
He's
it.
A one-dimensional player, and that's why he's not on there.
A lot of
who's a one-dimensional player?
Ovi. He's saying Ovi.
This guy just said that.
Yeah, he's not a playmaker. He's not a defensive guy. Like, he hits, sure, and he scores goals. That's all he does.
Well, you got two dimensions right there.
Okay.
That does more than that, my friend.
When you talk about one-dimensional player, you mean offense and defense. That's what you really talk about when you go...
No, yes. I disagree. I think a one-dimensional player just does one thing, and then Ovi does a lot more than just score goals.
Like, a one-dimensional player is like a guy...
Okay, he hits.
Who, you know.
Fine.
Yeah, Phil Kessel is one-dimensional.
Yeah, like that's a one-dimensional player to
actually, I shouldn't be ragging on Phil, because he actually is quite a good passer.
Okay, so when you talk about a two-way hockey player, is it only two ways?
Yeah, that's two-way,
what
not
about a five-way?
That's a big
what about
difference.
A five-way
Joe,
player?
That doesn't make any sense.
He hits, scores, said, defense.
Yeah, two-way is not the same thing as two-dimensional.
Like,
no.
Like,
you just lost. You lost, you lost everyone. You lost the viewers. No, they're no. Like, no, Joe just flushed his argument.
Hey, at least Joe has a solid take and he sticks with it. Some people just shift when they don't have a strong take on something. I like it, Joe. I appreciate it and respect.
Thanks, Lovell. Appreciate it, buddy.
A lot of people say
bromance
is
this is the start of the bromance here.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying now, is Ovi gonna even get the record?
Yes, he will.
I hope he does.
He's not gonna stop. He's not gonna stop playing until he breaks it.
He'll hit it.
I remember initially like forecasting it out. Like I'm looking at what he's gonna score in the next few years. This was a couple years ago, and it was like he should get there early in 2025. I think it might take longer than that, honestly.
You don't think he gets it next season, eh?
No. He's still...
He's close to 70 goals away, I think. Like, around that number. 68, 69, 70,
something
like that.
He's at 827. So, quick math. What's 894 take away 827? That's 50, 67. So, he needs 68 goals to pass. Yeah. So, like, let's just say... I mean, he's obviously not on pace to have a big season. He could go on a little bit of a tear. But let's just say he scores another...
He has 5 goals this year.
Or 25. Another 30. Let's get him to 30. No, let's get him to 30 this year.
Ooh, so I think he's going to blow by 30.
You think he's going to blow by 30? Blow
is strong.
I think he gets... Okay, I think he gets between 35 and 40 easy.
I think he's 25 35. To 30.
Yeah. I think he needs another 30. I think he gets 30 goals in 70... How many games are left? 68 games? 67 games? They played 15? 67 games? 30 goals in 67 games?
Let's just say, for argument's sake,
he finishes with 30. Starter.
But let's just say, for argument's sake, he finishes with 30. Right?
He would
still need an additional 43 goals coming into next season.
Oh, because you can't. Yeah, sorry. 5.
Right?
If it takes longer, it takes longer. It's going to happen, though.
Yeah. He's under contract for another 3 more years.
He'll trickle away.
Buy low.
Yeah, he'll
buy low on Ovi.
He'll get it.
He's going to get it.
I can't wait till he gets close. We've talked about this, but I can't wait.
Oh, I want him to break it, because I personally don't think Gretzky's the greatest of all time. So that's just me. I'm in the minority there.
Hot takes.
It's not a hot take. He's right.
You think Lemieux is a better player than Gretzky?
Oh, yes.
No, I think I think that in terms of skill, the greatest player of all time, and I know it's too early because he hasn't shown enough, but get out of here. Connor McDavid, in terms of what he can do, there's no player like him in the history of hockey. Lemieux, he was a fantastic player, but like how the game was seen in that time, I would give it to Gretzky, but I wasn't agreeing with you on Lemieux, but I do think McDavid would be the greatest of all time, despite accolades, like in terms of skill set and what he can actually do.
It's honestly, Mayor, I agree with you.
It's honestly hard to disagree.
Skill.
1,000%.
But, right, accolades, it's not even close. Agreed.
I don't like accolades to be a measure of, though. Like, when you look at, like, okay, I only say NBA because people, how many rings did Jordan have? Well, I mean, I won't give my opinion on it, but, you know, Russell had more rings than Jordan, and, like, why isn't Russell the greatest player of all time? So accolades aren't the be-all and end-all for me.
Okay.
It's a good conversation.
Let's keep going here. Another multi-dimensional player, John Tavares. He had a goal, 2 assists, 3-2 win against Detroit. That was in Sweden. Debated giving that to Willie, but I feel like Tavares with the game winner, he had the overall better game. But again, Tavares, older guy like Crosby, but not slowing down. 19 points in 16 games.
Not according to the people in Sweden who gave Willie the player of the game.
Well, they're not looking at fantasy stats.
Are you kidding me? Willie could have finished that game. He could have finished that game with they could have lost 6-0, and he had 4 pizzas, and they would have given him the player of the game.
Well, they gave it to Riley today because, you know, they couldn't give Nylander 2 watches.
Yeah.
So just a little note on Tavares. So I mentioned earlier that Kane was the number one player for fantasy last week across Standard Bangers League. Average. Leafs didn't play enough last week, but the games that he did play, number one overall from an average perspective, was Tavares this week.
All right. Thank you for that tidbit. This guy is on fire.
Brian's spot's in jeopardy. I mean, I don't want to, you know, Brian's my boy, but I don't, I'm just calling it like I see it, you know?
Boys, he's keeping the seat warm. We're gonna do this on a regular basis.
Wow. Listen, we will all go around the table and grade you at the end of the episode, sure. So keep it going. All
right, let's go.
Next, Shea Theodore. He had a goal and 3 assists, 6-5 win in Montreal. Personally, guys, I am waiting for Shea Theodore to lead defensemen in points. I think I said this maybe last year. I was hoping. Didn't happen. But he's got 18 and 18. He's there. And I think it's only a matter of I think he's going to stay around there. I think he can honestly stay and have a 70-plus point season. Maybe he won't lead the league in defensive points.
I was going to say.
But no, I think he's that good.
No shot he leads the league in points among defensemen.
No,
but he's capable of it.
He's a good player.
There's like a minus 5% chance he does.
Okay, minus 5.
I wouldn't put him.
I'm not saying it's going to happen. I just say I think he's got the skill to contest.
He's the number one power play guy in a good situation there. Didn't realize this. Did you know that, there's one guy in Vegas under 6 feet tall? I didn't know that, but I found out in a little bit of research. Marchese is their only guy. They're a big team. They get to the net in the power play. He's going to get a lot of points off the power play. I do think, though, he's behind guys like Fox, Dahlin. I think he's behind.
McCarr. Yeah,
Mayor, where were you during the playoffs? I believe they said that every single game, that they're a huge team, only one guy under 6 feet.
I wasn't watching. I was just looking today.
Only one guy they drafted.
And the guy that won the Conn Smythe. It's awesome.
It chirped the Habs too.
All right. And lastly, we had Seth Jarvis. 2 goals and an assist Saturday night. 4-2 win versus Pitt. He's got 13 points in 17 games. They're kind of a committee. Scoring by committee in Carolina. No one's really jumping out above the rest. They're all kind of hovering around that mark. I guess it kind of hurts Jarvis in a way, but he's looking to beat his career highs, and he's well on his way.
Well, other than that one game he had last week, I mean, he's put up donuts for the game surrounding it. When you have Aho and him in the lineup together, you'll notice his production dips. Like, he started off the season all so hot, it actually lined up when Aho missed some time. A lot of his production came with Aho out of the lineup, and yeah. There's too many mouths to feed to sustain that kind of production year-round, though, my opinion.
I mean, I wish someone would feed Brent Burns. That would be nice. Because holy shit. Like,
feed that mouth.
Oh, my God.
It's a big mouth.
Okay, let's get into some of the questions we had this week. We will start with, all on Instagram, we'll start with at JasonLanda18. He said, Kuzmenko, is he a drop or a hold? Kuzmenko has 3 goals, 14 points in 17 games. He's factoring into the offense. I believe he's on PP1. I mean, there's not a lot of detail here on who he'd be dropping him for, but I find it hard to believe that.
Or other options.
I find it... Yeah. I find it hard to believe that the answer here is drop. I mean, Kuzmenko's in every position to succeed, and he's doing just that, 14 points, 17
games. On a good team in a good spot, 74 points last year. You're only dropping this guy if you're in a 4-team league with small rosters, so.
Yeah.
Hold.
Let's get to another one here. Hauling the Mail 29 wants us to talk about Ekblad and Montour. Brought it up a little bit earlier on the show. They've played one game as of this recording. OEL stayed on the top power play unit, and Ekblad and Montour were PP2. I think maybe you guys agree or disagree. Maybe Lopo's going to disagree because he owns OEL, but I think it's a matter of time before Montour takes OEL spot.
It's just to get the reps and get him back in the feel of things. He's missed too much. Power play one is still moving right now, so until they get up and running, they'll make the switch.
Yeah, sell high, and don't try and pawn him off on us at Mario.
It's okay. Yeah. I'll find Daff in the pool. I know he's not listening.
Sell high on OEL. It might be too late.
I've already started those trade talks this morning, by the way.
Good for you. The thing with two is OEL actually looks good. But yeah, the opportunity is going to go away. So it's tough to believe he's going to keep it up. Next, we had one from Anth Verardi. What's going on here? Yeah, he asked, he said, well, he basically asking about one of the great mysteries of life. He said, Joe Gennady, why can he shoot a puck but not an orange ball?
You fucker.
I'll turn this one to you, Joe. Why don't you answer this?
Hold on, wait, before Joe speaks, I was just driving home from the golf course yesterday, and I was like...
And you thought of that.
I don't know why I thought of this. I'm like, I remember watching Joe play ice hockey. This guy could play. Like, he could play. He had a slapper from the blue line and shit, and then...
But actually, the slapper, I don't really necessarily like. I can do a slapper.
You had a slapper.
It's not. It's not anything special at all.
Even roller. We played a lot of roller growing up. Joe could shoot, but when he got on feet, playing ball hockey, this guy served up muffins from the point. It was a pass to the other team every time.
Hey, my wrist. I want to know why, Joe. The slappers. I had nothing. I don't know. It's just the combination of. Running, planting, everything. I had no slap shot at all.
A weight transfer thing. Can't do it.
Yeah, no. Slap shot was always my weakness, even on ice. And later in life, I started getting something on the ice, but still nothing anywhere close to what it should be. But ball hockey, it just didn't. It didn't transfer at all.
Joe's the number one rat in the league history. I think he's got. He's an all-time great when it comes to like leaders on the PIM board. I mean, I've seen it firsthand. Joe, he gets it done. He's a great grinder.
Actually, yeah, we should have done this earlier. We should have talked about Lopo's, you know, playing style for the listeners. But
we appreciate our styles.
Yeah, but like Mare is that guy that will just muck it up in the corners and drag it out. Like he no hands, you know, no hands. But like he's a Zach Hyman. Like I would say,
I didn't have any hands either. So
no. But yeah, Mare, he's a point producer. So Zach Hyman's a pretty good.
Zach Hyman's a good one, right? Comparison. Only Mare is more of like more, I would say, dirtier. Like, well, I'll tell this story because it's not hockey. It's soccer.
Oh jeez, he hates this one. This is dark days.
But this was we were playing soccer, all of us. It was indoor soccer all through the winter, and we were involved in a chippy game. I think it was like a Colombian team or something. And it was getting like really chippy. Doesn't Mare end up just like suckering one of the only guys on their team who was not involved in any of the chippiness? This guy got absolutely suckered, and Mare hightailed it to the dressing room.
Part of the team. You gotta take
the other team. The other team chased them off the field.
You guys left me high and dry.
It came out of nowhere. We heard the you know, against the guy's jaw, and then you were like running full speed to the dressing room and guys chasing you.
I paid for his dental, don't worry.
You did. You felt bad.
I did feel bad after. I apologized, and we went for a coffee.
Yeah. Bit of a loose cannon.
Not anymore. So used to be.
You're loose cannon on like when he's playing sports. Off of the ice or the field. I get pretty even keeled, I don't know, maybe.
Overall.
Okay, guys, let's get back to hockey. Stop talking about footballs.
Okay, a few more questions here. One, I didn't really understand this one from Austin Kohler. Austin's actually chirped Joe in the past, so a lot of respect for Austin.
He's our boy.
Good on you, Austin.
I like him.
Your name's Austin.
Is Darlene an egg? What does that even mean? Am I out of touch with the kids these days?
Yeah.
What?
I don't know what that means.
Eggs crack. I don't know. Is he brittle? Like, that's how
does
I'm interpreting.
Does he look like an egg?
Boat.
I don't know. We're just going to
Yes, Darlene is an egg.
I don't know. Okay, thanks. I don't know what that means either. He has 12 points in 17 games. So if is he trying to say that?
A dud?
Maybe. Buffalo hasn't been that good. It's hard to know exactly where to go with this question because we don't really know what it means. But if maybe he's waiting for him to hatch. So yeah, I mean his season probably will still get better.
That's a good one.
He's a stud.
That's pretty good. Okay, a couple more. We have Riley Christopher Dillon on Instagram. wants us to talk about Larkin. Larkin has 17 points in 17 games. Fully expect him to kind of end up just over point per
and
game.
He got all that 17 before me and Lopo trade happened. Yeah. And he hasn't had a point since I think I got him.
Well, he's got two points in his last nine games. Both came in the same game.
He had a hard start. Hot start.
Yeah, but extremely. I think just because I've held him for the past 2 years prior to this one, I think I've made the pitch pretty good for Larkin at this point. I also think this is the first time in his career where he's playing with a guy who's close to his level in the Brinket. Like, I think you're going to see better numbers from Larkin. I've always said he's over a point per game player and he's produced as such. I think he does take a step, and I wouldn't be too worried about Detroit in general or Larkin at all, because I think they're going to be fine.
Yeah, I think he's just in a slump. He was hot to start. Now, that production wouldn't have continued, but you're going to be closer. Like Lopo said, I think he's going to be closer to over a point per game.
Yeah, I agree. One other thing I wanted to bring up here. Johnny Gaudreau, Patrick Laine. Gaudreau has 7 points in 18 games. Laine has just two goals.
The whole benching conversation again. They both benched him. I think they were down a goal, and neither of them were on the ice, if I'm not mistaken.
Like this is concerning.
I think this coach has to go back to the AHL or the assistant coach job.
See, I disagree. I disagree.
Go ahead.
Okay, so my team. I'm a Habs fan, in case you guys haven't figured that out. Right now, where the fuck is Columbus? They're nowhere close to competing. Why? Why are you going to promote players that are already established players versus the development of guys like Fantilli? Fantilli's an animal. He would have went second overall. I don't know. Anaheim reached on him. I thought he was going second overall. The guy's an animal. You got Marchenko, you got Veronica.
Why keep Kent Johnson on the sidelines and put him down? Like, if you're going to play them, play them.
But there's inconsistencies there. I thought Johnson was going to be a guy. I drafted him. I was upset with when he did get set down. But it's clear, in the last couple minutes of the game, Voronkov, Fantilli, Marchenko are touching the ice. There's Gaudreau lining nowhere to be seen.
Here's a decision. Here's a. How about this? You want to promote your youngsters? Play Fantilli with Gaudreau and see what happens. And move Laine back to the wing where he belongs, and he's not a centerman. They might have already done that, and he's still not succeeding. Oh, but still, put Laine, Fantilli, and Gaudreau together and see what happens.
I wouldn't be surprised if it happens. They move around that lineup like it's, like crazy.
I don't know. You just have studs. Like, yes, they're struggling, and yes, they're not getting the points, but, like, you're married to them. You got to play them.
It's a similar situation what's going on with Huberto and Calgary. Yeah. What are you going to do right now? Until you move them, you're stuck with them.
Yep. And what are you going to do? Bench them and not play them and then get them even more down in the dumps?
I think they got to get a trade in order. Like, there's no reason for Columbus to hold on to those guys. They're not helping Columbus. If anything, they're making it worse for Columbus because they're giving Columbus more wins at the end of the year. You want to get rid of those guys. Like, I don't know the direction of CBJ in general right now.
I mean, they're hoping to go north.
Yeah, they were supposed to, but they can't be rebuilding for 20 years.
They could use a guy like Mike Babcock behind the bench.
Well, it's clear why they wanted him to do what Vincent's doing, right? I don't know. I would hate to own Laine Gaudreau. It's not good.
That's tough. Did you guys talk about Huberto last week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
I wasn't there, but I heard.
But, Bear, you did, while we're talking about Calgary, there is a guy on Calgary I know you wanted to bring up. So I'll give you the floor right now.
The guy on Calgary I wanted, but I thought we were going to go that when we go through our pickups of the week. So you guys out there, I know you guys are not really in super deep leagues. For those, I would even consider him. One guy that, if you look at his numbers, especially on a banger's perspective, Martin Pospisil, absolute animal. If you look at his time on ice and his stats right now, so right now the guy's in six in shots in the league per 60. Third, when you take out the players that have too small of a sample size, the guy is second in the league for expected goals per 60. The guy's an animal. Take a look at him. Deeper league specifically, he's one of those guys to look out for.
Yeah, he has 5 points in seven games. He's plus seven, 21 shots, 22 hits. As you said, Maris, ice time is increasing. Last game, he had 17 minutes. Before that, he was around 10, 12, 11. Yeah, he hasn't been a prolific scorer in the minors. He had 6 points in six games when he was called up, but before that, not a lot. But like you said, Mayor, that Calgary needs guys that are going to perform, and if he's going to be doing it and adding in this layer of hits, he's a great add in deep leagues.
Yeah, might be a nice little find there, Mayor.
He's not a Zeri. I mean, I would put Zeri higher when you compare the players like out of Calgary, but he's definitely in that conversation of like young players coming up.
Well, yeah, he's 24 now, so he's breaking into the league a little bit later, but still a fourth round pick. And
yeah, but you look at JT Miller. JT Miller didn't start putting up points until he was 27. Like, every player develops at different paces.
Well,
you're
right. You're not wrong. Like, I mean, I think of a guy like Tim Thomas when I think about late bloomers. Like, this guy didn't really break into the NHL until he was like 29 or 30 or something. And then he had that season where he won everything there is to win. So, but yeah, keep an eye on Pospisil for sure.
All right, let's get into the week ahead here. So next week, there are 49 games in the NHL. The heavy nights are, I mean, Monday's not too bad with 7 games, but definitely Wednesday and Friday, 14, 15, Saturday has 8. There are no games on Tuesday and Thursday, which sucks for hockey fans. Understood, that's Thanksgiving in the U.S., so Thursday makes sense, being off. I think there's day games on Black Friday, so keep an eye out for that. But no games Tuesday, again Thursday. It's shitty. It kind of sucks, especially for Canada. But we get into the week ahead. So Ottawa plays just one game. They have the league lowest 15 games played, which is crazy. So if you have an Ottawa Senator, you're like, where the hell are these guys? Well, they're going to be playing one this week, so not getting any better. There's two games from Mini, Toronto, Vegas, and Washington. And then we have 4 game weeks from Boston, Calgary, Colorado, Edmonton, Nashville, New York Rangers, San Jose, and Vancouver. So based on the amount of games on the schedule for Wednesday, Friday, you may not be able to get in a streamer on those nights anyway. But from the list of teams that play 4, only Edmonton and Nashville play Monday and Sunday, which means they have 4 games and no back-to-backs. So here's a few players I'm looking at. You guys are welcome to add some as well. And we kind of go around the table and you can say who your maybe top guys, because I've had trouble with this one, because kind of guys are like even playing field. We'll start with a risky one. Connor Brown is 4% owned. He has 0 points in 10 games. Probably would stay away from him, but he lined up next to McDavid on the top line. I think they're trying to make it work. Maybe it clicks this week. Edmonton plays 4.
Of course, the junior connection.
Yeah, they're trying to make it work. So
Connor, it's a risk. And Chuck.
But he should be available. Next, we have Nyquist, 2% owned, 6 points in his last 6 games, top line, top power play, playing a bunch. Don't mind Nyquist at all. Next, we mentioned the Calgary guys, Zari, Pospisil. They're playing well. Zari's got 8 points in 8 games. As I mentioned, Pospisil, 5 points in 7 games. Then Ryan Johansson, 14% owned. It's crazy. He's got 6 goals, but just 1 assist, 7 points in 18 games. I don't know what's going on there. Obviously, he's on the top power play, second line, but just seems not to be getting the points. And then Ilya Mikheyev, 13% owned, 10 points in 14 games. I mentioned his name because he's playing with some pretty elite talent in Vancouver, and the Canucks play the Sharks twice this week. So those are some options.
One guy I want to mention, you mentioned a couple of guys from Calgary. Zadorov, if you're in a beggar's league, he has 6 points, 27 shots, and 31 hits. He could be on the move too. So it's something to keep an eye on with him.
One thing, that's a good point, Joe. One thing, guys on the move, you got to expect at some point Edmonton's going to address their goalie issues. I've, close to my heart, I heard the trio of Habs goalies, Montembeau, Caden Primeau, or Jake Allen are all potentially on the move. That might be something to look out for as well. If you need a goalie this week, Voronkov, I mentioned him earlier. I think that'd be a good guy to look at this week. Just mentioned he's getting those minutes in Columbus. The guy is 6'4". He's got 18 goals in Russia in his last season, so he's got a goal-scoring touch. Martin Popsil. Tolvanen on Seattle, 30% owned. Great for Bangersley. Shots, hits, blocks, gives you everything. I don't think the blocks are sustainable, but the hits and shots, you can expect that. Those are the guys for I would have under 30% owned to bring up, yeah.
So under 30, maybe keep it under 20. If you had to pick one for the week of all the guys mentioned, who are you going to go
with? I'm going
with
Johansson,
Nyquist, Pospisil, Zari.
Pospisil, he's my guy. I think he's doing good things in Calgary. I'd run him for the week and then swap him up with Voronkov to get that extra game on Sunday. So you run Calgary Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. And then you run for Voronkov if you're looking for that extra game for the week to pick him up to get make sure that every game, there every night there's games, you have somebody running for you in your lineup.
Not bad. Not bad. You guys all agree with that?
I'd take a chance on Connor Brown.
Yeah, I don't think I'm willing to make that risk, but, I mean, it could pay off huge if it clicks finally. Yeah. Probably go with Nyquist, even though I hate Nashville. I don't know. It's on a hot streak.
This is a little impromptu battle of the bargains or something.
Good old days. Let's get out of here. But before we do, I think we need to rate this guy. We used to do 3 stars of the show. We're not going to do 3 stars, but we're going to bring sort of a rating system back. Let's rate Lopel's performance.
Mayor, I'm giving you a solid 8.7693. I thought you were really good.
Specific.
I think there's... you'll even get more comfortable as you do more shows. And I think, I want to hear from the fans too as well. I think I want to hear what they have to say about your performance and if they want to hear you back.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that.
I got you.
Joe, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm going to go just below Anth and go an 8. Flat 8.
I don't know how.
It was a good addition. Good little surprise factor. Little tidbits here and there. Just little shot them in there, shot them out there. That's it.
Yeah, I can't go in the 9s right now because you got to give the guy room to grow. Maybe it's going
to
get better.
Something to strive for. You got to leave the.
It's been a one time shot. So we'll go. Willie Nylander 8.8, and we'll give him room to keep growing. But overall, good Epi Bear. I'm glad you joined us.
I'd like to add as well. He teased the beers. I didn't see any beer. He was pulling on his vape, so that was cool. But I didn't see any like smoke blown into the camera. I thought he was gonna pack a lip at some point. He didn't do that. So a little disappointed, but we have room to grow.
Yeah, well, guys, I appreciate being on the show today, taking the opportunity to show how much better I am than Brian DePonte. I am the better Ponte, I'm always a better Ponte, and just make sure the listeners know that as well.
Love it.
All right. Thanks for joining us, guys. Thank you for listening, as always, and we will chat with you next week. Good luck in your pools.
See you guys, and happy Thanksgiving to all of our U.S. listeners.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Buonanotte.